So Danny, come join us. Josh, please. So in Mesilat Yesharim, Ramchal, his introduction begins with the argument that to serve Hashem, it can't be an easy thing or something too simple. Because everything within our religion is built on a lot of wisdom, on a lot of hard work. You know, to know how to keep Shabbos is not too simple. Many, many gemaros, many laws, many details, many discussions, a lot of analysis. So how could the basics to fear Hashem, to love Hashem, to work on our character, how could that be too simple? You know, if serving Shabbos requires intellectual achievement, so certainly everything else also requires a lot of intellectual achievement. And Ramchal argues that what has happened is that people think, oh, I know what it is to serve Hashem, I know what religion is all about. And as a result, they don't. And they don't really do what God wants. They don't serve God in the way that He wants to be served. And instead, it becomes, you know, a routine. They do what they did yesterday or what they saw their parents do, but they are not really thinking about God or concerned about God. And they're not serving God in the right way. They're doing all sorts of silly things which they think is what God wants, and it's not really what God wants. So if we start now in the next part of this introduction, and even if a person thinks that he knows what it is to serve God, has to love God, has to fear God, if a person is not involved in them, he will see his details, he'll see what it is that he's supposed to be doing, and he won't recognize it. He won't pay attention to it. You can tell him all the things, and he doesn't really take it to heart. In other words, what Ramchal's trying to point out here is that, there are two types of people out there. There are people who are sort of satisfied with where they're at. They're going through the motions. They think that they're, you know, good Jews because they do the right things in their mind. And then there are those who are thinking about things. And if somebody's not thinking about things, he thinks he knows, but he really doesn't know. So, you know, as an example, a person who thinks, so when he gets to shul, so he starts thinking, you know, to get to shul, I had to travel on a road. The road had concrete. You know, 100 years ago, roads didn't have concrete. They were dirt roads, and then you'd have to go on a horse, and it would have, you know, shaken up my bones, and I would have been uncomfortable. And why did it happen that I was able to get to shul so comfortably, so easily? Because God gave somebody the wisdom to be able to think of the idea of concrete and then to sell concrete, and then people started to make roads with concrete and they made it much more comfortable. So, wow, it's amazing. Look at the way the world has changed. Look at the wisdom God has given to people. And he says, you know, Baruch atah Hashem, blessed are you God, sha'asa li kol tzarki, who's done for me all of my needs. Look at all the needs he's taken care of for me. It's a whole different level of a bracha. Someone else says, okay, I have to go to shul. I go to shul. I say, quickly, Baruch atah Hashem, sha'asa li kol tzarki. I know what I'm supposed to do. I did everything I was supposed to do. Ramchal says there's two different worlds entirely. One person thinks I'm doing all that I'm supposed to do. I've created checklists. I check them all off. I'm going through the motions. But that's not real service of Hashem. It's not real deliberation, analysis, thinking about what it is to serve Hashem. And really, if a person thinks about serving Hashem, then he'll really get to it. Then he'll have the real service of Hashem. Otherwise, it's just, oh, I did all the things I was supposed to do, but it's not heartfelt. It's not invested. There's no real passion to it. It becomes something which is just to go through the motions. And even though he thinks he knows, because he studied, he doesn't really understand. Because anything to really understand, it requires investment. So Ramchal says, Re'ei ki ein divrei achasidus v'inyanei ha'yira v'ahav avatara salev dvarim utbaim ba'adam. To love God, to have purity of heart. Danny, can you pass this to me? Thank you. These are things that are not by nature within man. That you don't need to try to find a way to acquire it. It's not like we're born, we know how to breathe once we're born. As we grow up, we pretty naturally learn how to crawl, we learn how to walk. But a person's not naturally going to be loving God, fearful of God, reverent to God, pure in motivation. It's not by nature that we don't need to work to acquire. It's not like you find it naturally. You get tired at a certain point, you fall asleep. After you sleep enough, you wake up. These are natural things, but love of God is not natural. Harav, if you're hungry, then you're going to want to eat. Vasava, you want to fill yourself. These are things that are natural within us. But to really love God, it's not natural. We need to find all sorts of ways. And we need to think of tactics. To try to get them. And not just to get them, but to really live with them. And there's certainly all sorts of things as well that make it hard for a person to have love of God or fear of God and to really think of God. And certainly there's a lot of different ideas how to get away, all those things that are impeding. In Kain Eifo, so in light of these introductions, Eichlo Yitztarech Lahotziz Man Ala Iyonazeh, certainly a person needs to invest time to think deeply, Ladas Amitas Hadvarim, to know the truth of what this entails, then Ladas Haderech Liknosan, then to know the way to acquire these things, and then ulakaimam, and then to hold on to these things. Me'ayin tavo hachachma hazos belev ha'adam. Where will this wisdom come to the heart of man? Im lo yevakshena, if he doesn't seek it. So Ramchal here...
If you take this out to a derivative, doesn't this become Mitnagdim versus the Chassidim?
In what way?
I go to a 6 o'clock minyan every morning. I have a 7:15 meeting at work.
Right.
I don't have time to think about the fact that the road is paved. But I bust my butt to get the minyan before starting work at 7:15 in the morning.
So I think Ramchal would say that, and I think the Chassidim would also say, that it's not necessarily a contradiction. You know, there's a very beautiful medrash. The Medrash says that there was a man who was mispronouncing his Dalads. Instead of Dalad, he was saying Resh. So instead of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, it became something else. And then instead of pronouncing a Hey the right way, he pronounced the Hey as a Yud. So instead of Ahavta Hashem Elokecha, it became V'oyavta. Make your enemy. So, problematic. So the Medrash says that Rabbi Meir heard what this man was saying. He tried to teach him to say it the right way. The man couldn't learn it. So he said, the verse says in Shir HaShirim, V'diglo alai ahava, and his flag, his banner above me is love. Al tikre v'diglo, don't read it just as the flag, Ela v'dilugo. Read it as the dilug, the skipping. And sometimes he's in such a rush, he skips over a syllable, but v'dilugo alai ahava, because there's love, the skipping over is also accepted out of love. So the Chassidim, for example, will say, let's say it's Erev Pesach on Shabbos. So Erev Pesach on Shabbos, you have to daven very quickly because you need to eat two meals before 10 o'clock. You can't eat in the afternoon. You have to eat two meals before 10 o'clock, so you have to daven as early as possible, and you have to daven quickly, have a meal, have a break of some sort, and then have a second meal. So where is the kavana? Where is the thinking about who paved the roads? So the dilugo alaya hava, since it's being done out of love for Hashem, so even though it's skipping over what should be, Hashem loves that too. So I think the Hasidim would say that Hashem loves that too. And I think Ramchal would say that Hashem loves that too. Ramchal's point here is to argue that we should be people who are searching for religious inspiration. And we should never allow ourselves to fall into the rut of the Navi Yeshayo describes, Vatihi Yirasam Osi, and it was their fear of me, Kimitzvat Anashim Elumada, like a mitzvah of people that they've learned, that's their routine, that's their habit. Not that they're thinking, not that they're investigating. It's a habit. Okay, this is the habit. These are the checks off. You know, I check off these things. Habit is the worst thing, because habit, there's no mind in it. There's no soul in it. There's no feeling in it. Habit is very, very dangerous. And so Ramchal is arguing, these are things that are not going to come, you know, because the body's going to tell you, okay, think about God or love God. It requires, first of all, to want to find it. It requires searching. A person has to be someone who's searching, who's looking. There are people out there that are inspired people, that are thinking about God, that have inspired thoughts. Let's try to join that group. Let's not put ourselves in the group of those who are in a routine. Let's put ourselves in the group of those who are thinking. Let's ask, let's investigate, let's explore with them. And the more we engage in investing heart and mind, a great day, the more we will merit to truly acquire it and to have love. Love is an emotional construct. It has to have feeling, right? If somebody just checks off the boxes in any type of a relationship, you know, said hello in the morning, said hello at night, it's not the same. There's no love there. Love requires investment and, you know, giving and devotion. Hashem asked for love. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu says. Ma Hashem lokecha shoal mi'imach. What is God asking of you? Kiyum lirosi, to fear me. La'avoso, to love him. Leleches b'chol drachav, to go in his ways. So these require seeking. And we have to be people who are seeking. You know, there was a tremendous loss that we had a couple of years ago in Har Nof, in the middle of Shachris. A terrorist came and he killed, ended up four people, two who were in the middle of davening, two who came to try to stop him. So one of the people that the terrorist murdered was Rav Moshe Twersky, of blessed memory. Rav Moshe Twersky was someone friendly with my father. He was Rav Soloveitchik's grandson, his oldest grandson. He was the oldest grandson of Rav Soloveitchik. And he had a very special relationship with his grandfather. He had learned with his grandfather. He was the only person in the world that knew his grandfather's Divrei Torah on Seder Kadshim. Maybe his grandfather, obviously his grandfather knew it, but his grandfather never shared it with anybody else. Maybe he had shared it back in the 40s, but since then he didn't. But he shared it with him. He learned Zvachim with his grandfather. He learned other things with his grandfather. And he was someone who was a remarkable seeker. Remarkable. He married a daughter of a Rosh Yeshiva from Israel. And at one point, he told his wife, I heard that there's a very special tzaddik in Manchester, England, Rav Dan Segal. And he has a yeshiva there. I would like to go to England to spend Elul in the yeshiva to see the way Rav Segal goes through Elul. How he prays, how he tries to work on himself, how he serves Hashem. He was already married with kids, and his wife said, okay. And he went off to England for a month, for 40 days, for Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, to learn from Rabbi Segal. I remember that when my brother-in-law had a friend of his, he married Rabbi Twersky's niece, the other Rabbi Twersky's daughter. So he got married in Elul. So he said Rabbi Moshe Twersky couldn't come because it was Elul. And in Elul, there was no way he could leave the land of Israel in the month of Elul. Now, the month of Elul, he was so concerned about what's going to be this coming year and doing tshuva and serving Hashem. There's no way he could leave the land of Israel, even for the wedding of his niece, during the month of Elul. That was totally understood. That month of Elul, he wasn't going to leave. And he was always seeking. You know, he had learned from Rav Soloveitchik. Mm-hmm. Then he learned with Rav Gershom Zaks. Then he learned with his father-in-law. Then he learned, you know, with other people. At the end of his life, I guess the last 15 years or so, he was very close to Rabbi Yisrael Eliyahu Weintraub, who was a Rav, taught a lot of Kabbalah. And he learned Kabbalah. So he was a seeking person. He was a searching person. Ramchal is saying, to do what Hashem wants from us, it's not just to check off the boxes. It's to be someone who's seeking. And that's going to require effort and study and review and really asking very, very basic questions. Like the most basic question is, why did God put me in this world? What is the unique mission that God has for me? He gave me certain gifts, certain abilities, certain skills, and He wants me to use those gifts and those skills for Him. How am I using those gifts? I was put in this world, in this moment, at this time, in this place. How do I fulfill that mission that He gave me? You know, the particular passions that I might have. What attracts me? What draws me? And how do I serve God in these ways? And that's the point of Ramchal. Ramchal's point is that we're not going to get to love of God just by osmosis. We're not going to get to love of God because we were born as Jews. The only way we can get there is by trying to be a seeker. Someone who's searching, who's trying to go from one level to the next, looking for new teachers, looking for new sources of inspiration, and asking ourselves very, very elemental questions. Going back to the very, very basic points. Why was I created? What should I be doing?
No, you know, let me ask you, there's an economist, Daniel Kahneman, who wrote a book called Thinking Fast and Slow. And he basically went through a bunch, among other things, he went through a bunch of examples where in business, if your initial reaction, human inclination, is to make a certain decision because of how it's marketed, because of how it's represented. But if you kind of take some time to think about it, you actually make a better decision if you just kind of, you know, were thoughtful about moving forward. Mm. I feel like when it comes to Torah, it's kind of that, and, you know, kind of well, a little bit, but in the sense that it's about a lifestyle, it's about a quality of life. It's not about just coming to shul because you're coming to shul. It's about, why am I coming to shul? What's the purpose? What does it mean for me in terms of serving Hashem, in terms of meditation, in terms of kind of preparing myself for the day, or you know, taking time out of my day? So it's that. It's that the gut reaction might be, yeah, I put on senses because you just do it. But that's maybe missing the point. That's kind of impairing how you judge the benefits and qualities of wearing tzitzis and davening, and taking the time to think it through may help, you know, in the long term.
For sure, for sure. You know, he was the nephew of the Panovitcher Rav,
wow,
Rav Yosef Shlomo Kahaneman. So Ramchal says, "V'kimat shekvar hitamet etzel kol chacham tzorech tmimus ha'avoda." Now, every wise person certainly knows that when we serve Hashem, it should be total. V'chovas taharasa, and the service should be pure. V'nikyona, it should certainly be clean, right? It's not serving Hashem if it's about an ego trip, or if it's to, I don't know, get pleasures, or selfishness. The service of Hashem is clearly the real service of Hashem is pure and it's sincere. There's no ulterior motive. It's just about what God wants. Right? That's clear service. Shezulas eila ena nirtzas vaday klal. Certainly without sincerity and without, you know, cleanliness and purity and wholesomeness. It's not a service. God said to do certain things. He wants us to get it all done. I remember once when I was teaching. So please.
Can I have call Haley?
Of course, of course. Thank you. Yeah, no problem. So I remember once when I was teaching. So we had, you know, one of the questions that students were asking, why does Judaism have so many small things? You know, why so many little details? So I get the big picture. The big picture is be a good person, be nice to people, think about God. But all these details, you know, if I forget and on Shabbos in my salad, instead of taking the cucumber out, I first take the tomato that I don't like and put it to the side. Why does God care about that? Does he really care about what's happening with the salad? What's the big difference? You know, there's so many mitzvos, it seems overwhelming. You know, how could I possibly try to fulfill all of these commands? So,
good question.
That was the question the students were asking. So I remember we brought in a teacher. And he said, you know, the Rambam writes in the end of his commentary to Masechet Makos that really all God is looking for is at least one mitzvah to be done really, really perfectly. You know, he's looking for that one moment of total sincerity that somebody did a mitzvah not for money, not for honor, not for his own enjoyment, just God said to do it, and he just wanted to do the will of God in pure, sincere, one mitzvah. That's what God's looking for. So he gives us all these mitzvahs, so every aspect of life can have a mitzvah. Maybe we'll get at one point to one mitzvah done right. Now, if we do many mitzvahs right, many moments, we'll have much more reward. But to get Olam Haba, you have to have at least one mitzvah done right. So that's why there's so many mitzvahs. Don't view it as, oh, there's so much, it's so hard. On the contrary, there's so many chances to maybe get it right. And if I get it right once, oh, Baruch Hashem, then at least I'm in. You know, if I get it right thousands of times, then, wow, there'll be thousands of levels of being in. But if I get it right at least once, at least I'll be in. That's what Rambam says. And then actually Rabbi Twersky, Alav HaShalom's brother, shared, he said, perhaps the reason why there are so many details and the details are so important that we have to get each detail right is because it matters. In other words, the mitzvos that we do actually set off all sorts of tremendous spiritual waves. We do a good deed, that sets off a wave of good things. We do a bad thing, unfortunately, it sets off a wave of bad things. So these actions trigger enormous consequence. So these actions have to be done just right in order to enable all these great things to happen. He gave the following example. He said, let's say somebody sends me an email. So my email is rabbizevreichman@gmail.com. So instead of rabbizevreichman@gmail.com, the person wrote rabbizevreichman@gmail.com. If I just left out a dot, why couldn't it go through? But it's not going to go through, even though it's just one little dot. Because if it's not done right, it's not going to work. You know, if you have a car and there's a spark plug missing, the engine's not going to work. It's just one little piece. But if that's not there, then it's not going to light the fire. Then nothing's going to work. So the details matter. So clearly, to serve Hashem, it requires getting all the details right. Yeah?
I used to think about it because we are a religion of minutia times minutia. And then when we started Daf Yomi, I realized that, you know, I'm sitting in a sukkah, and the sukkah looks exactly like the sukkah they used in the Midbar. Mm. That's why we have the minutia.
Powerful.
You look at all the other religions. We're doing the religion that said, all right, I use it. I'm blowing shofar the same way shofar was blown at Har Sinai. That's what the minutia is. It's like I always, my eye, I've been to countless times when we started Sfirat Omer, and somebody would make a Dvar Torah on La Omer versus Ba Omer, and my eyes would glaze over. But then I started realizing, without this minutia, religion would change.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And and the Goyim, I'm sure, first, whatever they're doing now is probably not what they thought they were supposed to be doing 2,000 years ago. But our religion doesn't move, and that's why I appreciate it. That's why we need the minutia, because that's how that enables us to do it correctly.
That's right. That's certainly true.
Especially since so much of it wasn't written down. The fact that we're doing it correctly, and it wasn't written down for how long between Har Sinai and the Mishnah and the Gemara, it's over 1,000 years. The fact that we're doing it correctly is a miracle.
That's right. Yeah. And that shows how important it is. Yeah. So Ramchal says, you know, to do a mitzvah right certainly requires, completion and perfection. And that's what Hashem wants, right? That's what Hashem certainly wants. And therefore, Elo nimasas numetu eves, ki kol levavos doresh Hashem, v'chol yetzer machshavos hu meivin. So manane biyom tochacha, right? God knows what's in our thoughts, He knows what's in our hearts. So what are we going to say on the day of rebuke, im hitrashalnu, mina iyun hazeh, if we didn't spend the time to think about it, and we ignored that thing which is such an important point. Shu ikar, it's the emphasis. Ma Hashem Elokeinu shoel me'imanu. What does God want from us? Is it possible that people are thinking about all sorts of things that they don't need to think about? All sorts of, you know, brilliant exercises that don't produce anything. The dinim asher einam shayachim lanu, and concepts that are not relevant, and the most basic obligation that we have to our Creator, chova rabba, the great obligation of loving Him and serving Him, nazveu lahergel, are we going to leave it for routine, for habit? Nanicheu lemitzvah sanashim ilumada, are we going to leave it for just people do things because that's what they were taught to do, that's what they've been habituated to do? How could we do such a thing? If we don't try to figure out what does divine reverence mean and what are the aspects of divine reverence, how can we acquire it? And how can we escape from the emptiness that causes us to forget it? And you know what? If a person knows what he should do, but he doesn't review it, it will be forgotten. Even though we did know that we were supposed to have these feelings. So for example, la'ahava, love, kamo kein. Im lo nishtatel l'kvo osa b'livavenu b'koach kol ha'emtzayim ha'magiyam osanu lazeh. If we don't try to put it into our hearts, eich nimtza banu, we're not going to suddenly find it inside of us. Me'ayin yavo ha'dveikus. Where are we going to get to being attached to God? Or ha'islahatus b'nafshosenu, or the soul getting excited, imo yizbarach, with Him, v'im torasa, or excited with His Torah, im lo nishel gdulaso. We're not going to get it unless we pay attention to His greatness, v'el romamuso, and to how exalted He is, asher yolid b'libeinu advekos hazeh. Thinking about His greatness and how exalted He is, that will put into our hearts this type of an attachment to Him. But if we don't think about His greatness, we're not going to feel so attached to Him, right? If we, another example, right? A person can think about the size of the observed universe. They say, well, how long would it take light to travel? Light in 1 second can travel 186,000 miles. From here to Israel, which will take me 10 hours, that's only, 6,000 miles. So back and forth would be 12,000 miles, 15 times or so, and that's 1 second for light. And then, you know, how much miles would light travel in a day? We're talking huge numbers. And then in a month, and then in a year. And then, okay, so light, how big is the world? I don't know. The amount of space for light to travel in 1 year? No. It's 50 billion light years. So you say, wow, it's a big world. And sure, sure. And that big world, the Pasuk says, Melo kala aretz kevodo. The whole earth is filled with His glory. There's 50 billion light years of space filled with his glory. And he who's so big, 50 billion light years are filled with his glory, he wants me to daven or to keep Shabbos or to learn Torah. He's given me his Torah. So that excites the heart. The heart gets excited. The heart then is a feeling of love. But if we're not going to try to find the ways to get inspired, if we're not going to look for the people that are inspired, if we're not going to look to study, you know, inspiration, it's just going to be lost. And then what happens is that Judaism becomes just a routine. And that's what Ramchal is most concerned about. A Judaism that's a routine eventually becomes nothing at all. It's totally lost. It's totally forgotten. And so that's the important, the reason why he wrote this book is to go through what he thinks is a path to get there. The truth is, people might find other paths. The Pasuk says in Mishlei, Mayim amukim eitza belev ish, deep waters is advice in the heart of man, v'ish chacham yidlena, and a wise man knows how to draw the waters. Many times, some people, they find different things that inspire them, that connect them, that attach them to Hashem, and a person has to look inside and find within his heart that which brings him close to Hashem, and to merit to hopefully fulfill the purpose of why Hashem put us in this world. Thank you. Thanks for taking the time.